Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We'll be looking at a very important issue today. Every parent, every grandparent needs to be tuned in today. If you're a parent, tune in. If you've got grandparents that you do not know whether they're listening or not, call them right now. Ask them to tune in. This is an urgent broadcast as we face the issues today. The question is, who owns our children? Who owns them? Today, the governmental system says that they do. The Bible says that we do as parents. Yet the Bible says that God owns them. They're on loan from God, and we're to train them up as pleases the Lord. We're going to talk about that today, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very urgent broadcast. We'll be interviewing a lady that is with us that's from China. She was brought up in China, raised in China, served as a physician in China. She'll give a little more of her biographical information as we introduce her a little later, right after the monologue today. But let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone call. That call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion on this urgent issue today. Let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Our position on issues that we discuss is not based on denominational dogma. It's not based on political, ideological bent. It's not based on what I think or say. It's based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Bible. The Bible, that may be something that's new to some, but the Bible gives us the roadmap for life. It gives us provides the light unto our feet and the lamp unto our pathway as we serve the Lord each day. It is the truth book, as I like to call it. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, as he's speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Now, a lot of people misquote that. They just say the truth shall make you free. What truth? It's the truth of the word of God. In fact, Jesus then says in John 14:6, "I am truth." He further makes the declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that counts. It's the first, foremost, and the final authority on the face of God's green earth. And may I recommend that book to you? It's called the Truth Book, as I like to call it. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell that wrote the book, 1984, with a projection of what America would be like in 1984. He was a secularist, but he made a very powerful statement. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I am telling you today, ladies and gentlemen, if you speak the truth as we do, it is despised, rejected, and denied by multitudes. In fact, I've used the term, I don't believe Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and AOC and multitudes of those of the Beltway in Washington, Jerry Nadler and others, I don't believe they could spell the truth if their life depended on it, because they sure are against the truth of the Word of God. You recall it was Jerry Nadler in the U.S. House of Representatives when a representative was on the floor reading scripture about how it's wrong with the LGBTQ sodomite agenda of what they were doing. And it was Jerry Nadler that tore it back, God's Word has no place in the halls of Congress. And that's exactly the position that multitudes take today that's on the left. I call them the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. And I don't mind doing that because that's exactly what they represent. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to truth, it's former Senator, U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, made a very powerful statement. He warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Let me just read you in part what former Senator Jim DeMint said. He said, and I quote, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. The Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation today. I don't think you can have a greater summarization of what's wrong with truth in America today. It goes back to the pulpits, goes back to the pews, goes back to the era that's gone by now when pastors would stand and proclaim the truth from the pulpit and warn of the charlatan politicians. In fact, in the 1700s, ladies and gentlemen, the pastors would have their messages challenging and chiding the politicians, would have it reduced to printed form and posted in the center of town square. They didn't have telephone, telegraph, and telewoman then. They didn't have emails and text messaging then. So the message was posted in printed form so that even the politicians that were named could see what the pastor had said about them and their candidacy or what they were doing in office. Those days are gone. It seems as though even the churches, pastors, are fearful of facing the truth, telling the truth, speaking the truth. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge to you, our listeners today, is to take a stand and say, I'm going to defend the truth even if it means my life. In some cases, telling the truth, standing for the truth, means your livelihood because of the forced mandate for vaccinations today. Multitudes, thousands, millions are losing their jobs and their futures as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time has a full staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. That's located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a tremendous benchmark there. 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me reiterate what I said moments ago. The issue today is who owns our children. The Bible says in Psalms 127 and verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And when you study the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, you find that God charges the parents with the responsibility of training that child. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 6, the scripture is very, very clear. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the translation of that from the Hebrew text is very, very clear. Let's just read it from the English Bible again. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Hebrew text, literally transliterated, would say, train up a child in the way he should go, that is the way, the bent, the leaning, that he is responsible for going, and when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. This is the emphasis that I want us to understand today. It's the parents' responsibility, the grandparents' responsibility, mom and dad's responsibility, not the state, not the government, not the Board of Education, not Lowndes County or Sterling County in Virginia. It is the parents' responsibility to train that child, to train your sons and daughters, to train them as the Word of God says we ought to do. It's the parents' that responsibility, not the government. In today's totalitarian mindset, ladies and gentlemen, the political elite have the opinion that government, not God, owns our children. But listen, wait a minute. It is not government. It is not the parent. It is God that owns the child. God loans them to us for a period of time. And during that period of time, it is our responsibility to train them, to nurture them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. It's not the government's responsibility. The government does not own your child. The government does not own any son or daughter or grandchild on the face of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that I think is fitting to simply read a blurb from it. The government wants your kids. Here are five ways to raise them in a world against the parents. In a world where everything is seemingly stacked against parents who want to raise their children with discipline, integrity, values, and faith-based worldview, how can parents even begin to turn the tide? And he goes on to say something that most will not like, but let me say that it is absolutely correct. It says Republican elites want your kids. They want them to be worker bees in the economic system, in the machine in America. At least they'd be working, but Democrats want them too. As independent voters to expand their power base, sure, they'll get lots of free stuff, but is anything really free? Ultimately, regardless of who's in control, the government really, 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 really wants your children today. With very few exceptions, governments have always been like that. It's no surprise. Go back and look at, this writer says, Adolf Hitler once said, and I quote, "He alone who owns the youth gains the future," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, does that sound like a harbinger of what we see taking place today in America with the influence on our children? And this particular writer goes on to say, with the steps that needs to be taken, get them out of public schools. That's number one in this writer's opinion. Ground them in your faith. Teach them respect. Practice the art of consistent discipline. And all of those statements that he made, ladies and gentlemen, are directly from the scripture with the admonition for the child of God to train that son and that daughter in a way that pleases the Lord. And there's you are responsible for training, and part of that training means good discipline. The scripture says, if you beat him with a rod, he'll not surely die. It's in the Proverbs text about training a child. That's talking about discipline that is realized and necessary based on God's ordained purpose for the parents. But ladies and gentlemen, Rand Paul made a statement. Let me just tuck this in before we introduce our guest today. Rand Paul said, parents, own your children, not the state. Rand Paul of Kentucky doubled down on his position that most vaccines should be voluntary, suggesting Monday that mandated immunization is an example of government overreach and control. The state does not own your child, Rand Paul said. Paul said in an interview with CNBC on the Closing Bell program, quote, parents own the children, and it's an issue of freedom and public health. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it more dogmatically or more correctly myself. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today a dear lady that we have had the privilege and the opportunity, the joy of interviewing before. We have today with us Joanne. I'm not going to give her last name for the benefit of protection for those that may disagree with some of the things that she or we might say today. But Joanne's from China, and she provides us with much insight into what's happening in today's America with the woke agenda, as I call it. You know that I've not originated that term. The woke agenda says that we know no more than you. We're smarter than you. If you believe in God, if you trust in God, if you trust in the Word of God, if you believe that parents have the right to direct their child and to train them, if you believe that government ought not to be involved in mandating the mask or mandating the vaccine, then you're the one that is not woke. I don't know where that word originated. I'm sure they've tucked it away someplace in our dictionaries and the vocabulary now in the word studies, but it is simply a new term that's been coined today by the so-called woke society and that agenda. Joanne, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Delighted to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood.
Would you take a moment before we get into the meat of the subject of what we want to talk about today and share with our listeners a little bit about your background, your upbringing, your profession in China, how long you've been in America? Just generally, give us a little biographical sketch of who you are. That will set the stage on where we're going with our interview today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. And I know it is a great opportunity to be on air, being interviewed by you. My name is Joanne. Joanne is my middle name, which I added when I became a citizen of the United States of America. God's plan is always higher than ours. His ways is higher than, his plan is always better than ours.
That's
and,
right.
And his ways higher than ours. As an unexpected child, the second youngest one was seven. I am so grateful that God brought me to this free country from China over 26 years ago. I came because my husband was pursuing for his PhD. At the time, I was a doctor in China and worked there for 2 years. Specializing in schistosomiasis disease, which is a parasitic disease. Now I'm just an ordinary housewife and a mom of three.
But you had that wonderful trained mind in medicine, and I believe you will agree that that has been a great benefit in focusing you on what is taking place today about the mask and the vaccines, et cetera, which we'll get into later in this conversation and discussion today. But go ahead with your biographical for our people to understand who you are and what you're doing.
Right now, I'm just trying my best to do whatever I can do to fight for our freedom. So since this August, I showed up in the school board meeting in St. John's County Public Schools, and also I attended the Florida First Audit Communication Group, mm-hmm. and also be a canvasser. I have been done that for 9 times since September 18th.
So they're getting accustomed to seeing your face there. Then let's just tuck this in at this point, and then we can get back to it and touch on it a little more deeply during the course of this broadcast today. But do you recommend that parents get involved in the school board meetings?
Yeah, they do have some parents got involved, have been in school board meeting, but not many. And that's the thing. I try my best to do whatever I can do to encourage other parents to get involved.
Yes.
And so everything just started from myself mm-hmm. first. And then hopefully, that's my prayer as well. More parents need to get involved in the local level, show up in the school board meeting. If you would like to make the public comments, I think that would be great. You just do whatever you can do and pay attention to the textbooks.
Yes.
Your children in school. So some I know in public school system, the kids, the textbooks may not allowed to take home, or you may send email to the teachers or in school, ask for permission, but you just try your best. Maybe show up in the school's, public school's library. I think this will be a good thing to do.
Absolutely. Joanne, if I can jump in for just a moment. The involvement of parents is so vital. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you as a parent or as a grandparent are concerned about what's being taught in your child's school, your grandchild's school. Perhaps you're concerned about whether or not you can speak up, say anything, whether your voice will be heard. And that is so vital today, not just with our educational system, but with the entire political apparatus in America today. One of the major problems that I find is so many are just seated in silence, thinking and having the attitude that that's the government school, that's the government policy, the government says to wear a mask, the government says take the vaccination, the government says that this is the lesson, this is the course, this is the textbook that your student's going to have, and that you have no right or say-so in that. That is simply false today. But because so many parents have gone into the realm of declension rather than taking a public stand, a valiant stand, a visible verbal stand, we're finding the school educational system is destroying, brainwashing, destroying our children in the public school system today. Joanne, talk about for a moment what's happening in Virginia public schools. What's taking place there that should be a lesson for us today?
Dr. Youngblood, you know that there were two incidents happened in the Northern County public schools this year. The first incident happened on May 28th. A ninth grade young lady was assaulted in the bathroom by a boy wearing a skirt, according to the Scott Smith, the father of the young lady. But in at June 22nd school board meeting, Ziegler, the superintendent, declared this transgender student or a person simply does not exist. And the father, Scott Smith, was arrested for disorderly conduct when he insisted at the meeting that her daughter's story was true, and another man named John was arrested for trespassing.
Joanne, this is the first incident. Let's take one moment and listen. Think of that a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear what Joanne just said. Perhaps you've heard it on radio or you've seen it on television. They've tried to tamp it down to make it as though it did not happen. But the superintendent of schools, when it came to his attention that this male dressed as a female went to the girl's bathroom and assaulted one of the students. And then when it came to light and was challenged, the superintendent of school said it did not happen. Somehow, some way, by fiat, he's going to make it just disappear. Joanne, what happened after that? And what is the story that our parents listening today should take away from this interview?
And after the incident happened, because the superintendent denied there's no student exists in our school. Actually, after that, the student was transferred to another school.
That's right.
But it's still in the same district. And then that's the second incident occurred on October 6th. So it's another 15 years old. This transgender, this male student, 15 years old, okay? He forced a female student into an empty classroom and inappropriately touched her. So this is according to the county sheriff's office report confirmed to Fox News and Daily Mail, and that they did investigate this incident. You know, the previous incident on May. But they said this case is still pending and leaving them unable to discuss details. All right? And then this is the same student, same criminal student.
Yes, absolutely.
So later on, the email revealed that the London County Sheriff's Office in August refused Zeller's request to weaponize law enforcement against parents at a school board meeting. And the parents, students, and other protesters have grown increasingly frustrated with the actions of the superintendent and the school board. So because the district cover up and the denial of the sexual assault, when the board tried to push through its radical agenda, have come to light. And many parents showed up, residents, and gathered outside school board meeting to protest transgender policy. It's called 8040, approved by the county public school on August 11th.
Yes, and Joanne, if I could jump in for just a moment, and let's drill down a little bit more for our listeners to understand. And it is what I call ground zero for all of America with the public school system, with what we see taking place in Lowndes County in Virginia. And one of the things that I'm a little bit hopeful for is with the landslide victory for the conservatives in the vote just a couple of weeks ago, it'll change the trajectory as to where that educational system goes. But Joanne, isn't it true, as we understand it today, that as a result of what has happened in Lowndes County, in Virginia, with the parents objecting, with the parents confronting the school board, with the parents just simply asking questions, isn't it true, as I understand it, that the Educational Association on a national level wrote a letter to the president, Joe Biden, and he in turn got Merrick Garland, the attorney general in the DOJ's office, to then put a notice out to the FBI that these parents, on any parents on a national level, that challenge the school board should be treated as domestic terrorists. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Dr. Youngblood. And because of this, I saw the news, and I was a prompt to show up in the school board meeting again that day. I know my identity. I'm just a mother, a mom of three. How do I a good citizen without any criminal record, a housewife who loves her family and this nation, a follower of Jesus Christ, who loves God and loves people, become a domestic terrorist all of a sudden? So I just challenging them. As I know my identity as God's masterpiece. I know my identity as a woman. I know my identity as a lady. I know my identity as a mom. I know my worth. I quoted lots of tons of Bible verses, you know, from the scripture in the Bible.
Yes.
And questions there.
One of the things, Joanne, that I see taking place is what is right is considered wrong, and what is wrong is considered right. And we see in the scripture that God's word says that that day would come when right would be wrong and wrong would be right. And we see that absolutely turned upside down in the American jurisprudence system today. And I am saddened to see that moms and dads, grandparents across the nation, now are considered domestic terrorists if we ask questions to the school board. But let's dig a little deeper with that. The school board in Virginia, how are they standing today with the parents? What's taking place there? Tell us that.
Yeah, and later on, you know, the story just keep going and keep going on. On October 29th, the superintendent admitted he was incorrect to declare an unlawful assembly, which was no legal authority at a school board meeting in June. And God used this pen, these two incidents, to wake up American people.
Yes.
And the parents. And I don't think God has done with America yet. As I shared in the first interview, according to Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every child whom he receives. So the parents stood up and they changed Virginia. Virginia Water sent a message to Democrats saying, leaving our kids alone.
Yes.
We are mama bear and papa bears. And we have said loud and clear, get your hands off of our cups, mm-hmm. our children.
That's right.
You are going to lose more races if you continue to treat us like dirt. And now we have risen up. We are loud and we are strong and we're saying very clearly, we are not going to allow you to claim our babies. None of this nonsense is going to be acceptable anymore. Okay, even as a self-described herself, a liberal feminist, Democrat, Muslim, woman of color, this mom voted for Republican candidate, Governor-elect Yang King.
Yes.
So Republicans in Virginia failed 90% of the poll watching positions, comparing to 30% in 2020, the general election last year.
Yes. And
so this make such a big difference.
Yes. And what they're doing, Joanne, and I think you agree with this, and I see this as the tactic that's being used, it is the scare tactic, the pressure and the threat tactic that's designed to prevent parents from getting involved in saying anything. But it's had a reverse effect, and that's reverberated across America, where parents are standing before school boards now demanding that they understand what's happening and demanding that some of these subjects cease and desist as to what they're teaching. We'll talk further about it after the top of the hour news in just a moment. But let me tuck this in before our news break, ladies and gentlemen. When we understand what's happening in the Virginia public school system, where they're teaching the critical race theory and saying that they're not, where they are allowing the transsexual or wannabe boys, wannabe girls, to go into the opposite sex bathrooms and to commit sexual crimes and then trying to cover it up. And then with the DOJ saying that if you question that, then you are a domestic terrorist, it has awakened, as Joanne just said, it's awakened the mama bears and papa bears across America, that we're going to say, no, not on my watch. You're not going to do that to my child, to my son or my daughter. In just a moment, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take that break. There's 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back. We're interviewing Joanne today. Joanne's from China. Joanne's talking about what's happening in America and how that is resoundingly looking more and more like the revolution in China of years ago. We're seeing that replayed today in America. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.